Hi, Royals fans. This is J.J. Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official health care provider of the Kansas City Royals. Get the major league care you deserve at kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
That's right. It's time to talk to our Chiefs insider, Adam Teicher from ESPN. You can read his work there. He's been covering the Chiefs, as you heard, for a long time, long time. Scribe is the Adam Teicher as he joins us here at the University of Kansas Health System Training Complex, where in the 1 o'clock hour, Andy Reid will speak. Certainly a lot to get to in that. He's going to have to start, I would think, with Roy Miller. Adam Teicher, always brought to you by Xfinity X1. Xfinity X1 will change the way Chiefs fans experience TV. Chiefs fans can track live stats and scores right on their TVs with Xfinity X1. Any screen is a TV. With the Xfinity TV app, stream any channel live on any device around the house. Mr. Teicher, sir, welcome. How are you, my friend?
Good, Saran. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. A little rest and relaxation. Did you immerse yourself in NFL football yesterday, or did you look at the pathetic slate of games and say, I'll pass?
I watched the highly entertaining, if not well-played, San Diego-Jacksonville game. Yeah. I enjoyed that immensely, even though it was nuts. It was not. Neither team deserved to win.
Yeah.
They both deserved to lose. I wonder if we can find a way to get that done.
I'll disagree with you. As a man who has the over on Jacksonville, I thought the true champion. And by the way, I think hit it.
Did they cover?
I think it was 5.5. Let me take a look here. I got it on a little note on my Sprint iPhone. Where is it? I'll find it here in a minute. 17 football bets. Jags, over 6.5. I need one more. I need one more win out of them. Somebody came home yesterday. The Rams won their 7th, right?
Yep.
Rams were over 6, so that one I put in the bank. Still waiting on a 5-game win streak from the Cleveland Browns to take me over the 4.5 on the Browns.
Might be waiting for a few years for that.
It's a frigid cold winter. And the Bears crapping that one away really hurt my chances of the Bears over 5. That was not strong. Other ones I look all right. Lions are 5-4. They're 7.5. Broncos under 8. Liking me the under. 3-1, I was questioning myself. Now that they're, what, 3-6?
3-6.
Loving me the under 8 on that. Loving the Texans, although I probably am bailed out by Deshaun Watson's injury. I've got the under on the Texans as well. And so that's one that I
– You were an under Cowboys guy, if I remember.
Got the under on the Cowboys, and I got the under on the Falcons too. So somebody was going to – I was going to get helped and hurt there no matter what. So Cowboys under 9.5, Falcons under 9.5. Cowboys are now 5-4, and the Falcons are 5-4. So, I mean, that's probably the best thing if I'm going to win them both was the result I needed, slow them both down. But I need both of them coming in at 9-7 or worse. Got the Chiefs over 9. I like that one. Titans got a good win for me. I got them over 9. They're now 6-3. That's on track. Lions over 7.5 at 5-4. They're in good shape. Eagles over 8.5 is looking good. Oklahoma over 9.5. You like the Sooners over 9.5?
Oklahoma 9.5.
Yeah.
Oh, what do they have now?
Just the 12-game regular season. You don't get the conference championship game and bowl games. Right now, what are they at now? 9-1.
Oh yeah.
I think so.
I think I'm one win
away. And they got Kansas still.
On the Sooners, right. that was a big one for them to beat TCU. Yes. So they go over if they beat Kansas, and then I have some like win the championship bets as well. OU to win the championship's one of them. Clemson to win the championship's one of them. Those both got a boost this weekend. So. I will see if either one of those can bring it on. But, yeah, my dogs, my absolute turds, though, the Browns over 4.5 is not coming home. And where are the Bears now? The Bears at 3-6.
3-6.
I need them to go 3-4, and that's not happening.
Good luck with that.
I think that one died yesterday. I needed them to get the win against the Packers. So, but I'll take it. If we can bring those home, we're in decent shape. So, you know, shoes for the kids come this January.
But that Jacksonville game was something, though. I was highly entertained, not by the great quality of football, but the harebrained things that guys were doing out there.
How about I think maybe the most egregious, and then we'll get to the Chiefs. Who was the Charger that picked off Jacksonville late and decided to put his arms in the air and run out of bounds at the 10 instead of tucking the football away and getting upfield to get some field position. Jacksonville had three timeouts. He picks off the ball with, what, 140, 150
like
or
that,
so?
Yeah.
And he's going to dance around there, yep, hold the ball in the air, and then step out at the 10.
One of the many amazing plays in that game, for sure.
Unbelievable, the level of incompetence that's there. I mean, I'm amazed at how these guys can allegedly be forced to eat, sleep, and breathe football, yet be so incompetent to game management themselves.
It's unbelievable.
I mean,
and the Jacksonville with the taunting penalties.
Oh,
did they try to give that game?
How about Joey Bosa with the personal foul penalty, the roughing the passer that sent him right down and put him in a field
goal
range? It
was just drama is what it was.
It really was
fantastic. I enjoyed every minute of it.
It was like, you know, you're just supposed to grab the ball and run, and they were just, it was a ping pong match, just slapping the wind back and forth. Who's gonna finally whiff when trying to screw it up, and the wind's just going to fall in their lap? Turned out to be Jacksonville.
I had other stuff to do, but I wasn't giving up on that game. No way. I had to see that one end.
Got
to
stay and watch the future.
I had to get away. Yeah, exactly.
You were in it to win it. Yeah. And it does set up the Kansas City Chiefs. Raiders off, Broncos and Chargers losing. We are now, as we head into kind of the second half, I mean, one game short of it, but really after the bye, it feels like it. The stretch run, if nothing else. The Chiefs are in unbelievable commanding position. Two games up in the loss column and win. The Chargers and Broncos dead.
Oh, for
By
sure.
By the way, let's talk about that Bronco game against the Patriots. How satisfying is it to watch them play the role of turtle flipped over on their back without a quarterback? Like all this brilliant coaching and all this crap. Mike Shanahan found out when John Elway retired. I won't be shocked. Gary Kubiak's now scouting or something, right? Yeah. He's back in the game doing something for somebody.
Yeah. I think the Broncos.
If he ends up being a coach again and he takes a job and it's like, oh, he takes the Lions with Matt Stafford, or you're going to see a guy who just went, no quarterback? Screw you. I'm out of here.
Kubiak's senior personnel advisor for the Broncos.
Okay. If he gets back into it, you saw it, you're looking at a guy who just went, no. I'm not coaching without a quarterback. I've seen this crap. This doesn't work. I don't need me playing quarterback. I need a guy. I need the man. And I'm getting out of Dodge if not. And that defense tried to posture and act like they're a big deal for several weeks. We're not tolerating this. It's all on us. They're not that good either. You can't just put it all on your defense. But they've lost a lot of people since that Super Bowl win. And they're not that good. And you see them there just absolutely folding the tents now.
John Elway isn't such a genius now.
No. I mean, the quarterback makes everybody look good.
He does. And now you can really feel how much Peyton Manning propped that thing up. I'm not, you know, they had some other great players, no doubt. But Peyton Manning really had a lot of weight on his shoulders and carried it very well for, what, 4 years he was with the Broncos.
Even the last season when he lost his arm, once he came to grips with the fact that he had lost his arm, and just played dink and dunk football and let the defense win it. Just his game management out on the field allowed them to still be a great team and let that defense, which was better, but he let them shine and take the starring role and picked up a second championship. I mean,
their guys can't even do that now.
They can't. I mean, Brock Osweiler's a doofus. I mean, he's awful.
I love the nickname Losweiler. This is one of my favorites. Brock Losweiler.
Dude. First of all, real quick.
Well, apparently, he's only 6'7" now. I'm hearing.
He's not 6'8" anymore.
They're saying 6'7". So that was a big Twitter thing. Yes, it was like, oh my gosh, I think it was maybe Gabe DeHarmon. He goes, that's all I ever knew about him. I now know nothing about Brock Osweiler. All I ever knew was he was 6'8".
Yeah, they said it when ASU played Mizzou. They said that he was 6'8", 500 times on the broadcast, and every Tiger fan just that's the only thing.
If I hear it
6'8"
again,
quarterback. It's unbelievable how many times they said it. But, yeah, listen, I think you look around the league and you see the Bills are coming back. They go in, and Tyrod Taylor, he's all right. He's a serviceable guy, but he can't lift you up. Listen, I'll even say this, Alex Smith, the 1-3 stretch, Alex Smith can't just pick you up and throw you on his back and go. He's played really well. I like him better than Tyrod Taylor, Jay Cutler, McCown with the Jets? Who the hell's playing with the Jets?
Yeah.
McCown with the Jets, I like him better than Flacco. I like him better than Dalton. Whatever
Boy,
sack of crap they're rolling out there in Cleveland. I'm a big fan of Marcus Mariota. I'm just going through the AFC quarterback, so I think he might be there. I like him over Blake Bortles, although, I mean, the Jaguars are plus 92 in point differential. It's kind of weird. Mm-hmm. You know, they either lose or they just blow somebody out. They get a couple of blowouts, but I like him better than the mess that's there in Houston. I like him better than Jacoby Brissett. I think he's showing some signs. They didn't lose because of him this past week. He played pretty well and kind of shot it out for a while until he got concussed against Ben Roethlisberger. I think he left the field leading. It was after he went out of the game that the Steelers came back. So, I mean, you look around at the quarterbacks in the AFC, and then you come to the Carr. Listen, I'll still take Carr. I think the upside's there, but if you want to say who's playing better this year, it's Smith. Smith's better than Carr this year. Rivers is playing better this year than last year. But right now, Smith's playing at a higher level, and the Broncos are a mess. So, I mean, realistically, you look around, there's Tom Brady, there's Ben Roethlisberger, and that should scare the crap out of all Chiefs fans, right? Because that's who they always end up seeing, and they seem to go down now that Andrew Luck is out. And Marcus Mariota scares me a little bit. The running attack and defense of the Jags scare me as an upset game in the playoffs. So I think there's plenty to fear as a Chiefs fan, but overall, they should fatten up on these last seven games against weak opponents, correct?
Yeah, and you talked about the Chiefs being two up on the Raiders. Well, the Raiders have the Patriots this week. The Chiefs have a one-win opponent this week. You know, are the Chiefs
I'll get it, Adam.
Are the Chiefs up three at the end of this weekend? I mean, probably so. Three with six to play in the division. So going to be hard for them to blow that against this schedule.
It is. So let's start there. Let's go from worst to best case scenario. Let's start with them blowing the division. Okay? We agree that at 6-3 with the Raiders at 4-5 and the schedule that lies in front of them, that they, even though they've given up 208 points, the Raiders have given up 214. The Chiefs offense has been better. Spotted this two-game lead. The Raiders' schedule is more difficult. It's almost impossible for them to lose the division. So we always, and I said this about, you know, the game against, was it the Cowboy game or, I can't remember where it was. We always look at things like, okay, we think we're going to win that game. So we put that in the win category, right? Then we overreact.
Was it Denver? The game against Denver.
Yeah, we just were like, but what if they don't beat the Broncos? Now they did. Then they went down to Dallas and they gave all of us some high hope that maybe they had some things figured out. Running those, and they got slapped by the Cowboys. I said, what happens if they do lose the Broncos? Well, we'll really view this team differently because it would be a three-game losing streak. And so they averted that. Then they turned around and lost to the Cowboys, and then the Boo Birds were back out, and it was like, okay. So I don't think they're going to lose to the Giants, although it is a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback that's going up against a defense that's been a sieve for the last four games. If they don't win the division, that is now. Like, before the season, the Raiders were maybe even a slight favorite to win the division over the Chiefs. So if you go back to our preseason expectations, losing the division by one game to the Raiders or on a tiebreaker to the Raiders, we wouldn't say this was a disaster. Where they sit now with the Chiefs and Raiders, it is now no doubt a disaster if they don't win this division, correct?
Absolutely.
There aren't enough. We can't look at injuries and say, really, it was a shell game. The Chiefs were magicians. Give all credit to Andy Reid. Really, they weren't that good when they were 5-0. They were masking injuries, but you just can't do that for the full. That's not a real excuse. I just want to make sure we're eliminating any reason why we should be less optimistic than we are right now about the Chiefs. Because on Sunday Sound Off last night, Cody said he said the Chiefs will be favored in all seven, but you usually don't go 7-0. I think they go 6-1. He's calling for them to be 12-4. I think that's about the same place Blair was. And I said, look, their defense does suck, so I'll call for them to go 5-2 and be 11-5. There's no reason that we're just being overly optimistic, is there? I mean, Roy Miller drama is going to come down today. We're going to hear what they do there. That's certainly, if they cut him, which many people expect them to do, will hurt him on the defensive line. These other injuries, are we giving enough credit to the injuries that they've taken on?
Having lost three out of the last four, it's taken a good team to beat the Chiefs in Pittsburgh and the Cowboys at the time, good teams. And the Raiders played the game of their season against the Chiefs. So I still think it's going to take a good team or somebody playing way over their heads on this last seven games to beat the Chiefs. Will it happen? Probably. It might happen a couple times. I think 5-2 is probably more reasonable to me, a 5-2 finish, than 6-1. So I'm looking at 11-5 here. I think that's reasonable. And yeah, I do think that you know, there really are no excuses here.
So
unless Justin Houston goes out or something, or he's somehow diminished over the next seven games, or another key player. So,
but if they do crash, if they do blow this two-game lead with a head-to-head game against the Raiders to draw even there and a significantly easier schedule, the major change has got to come. Then we will look at this team differently, because at 5-0, it's like, hey, they're 5-0, and they got the quarterback of the future. They're going to get cap relief at some point, stay the course with Alex Smith. Like, number one, if they crash and don't win this division, Smith is gone.
Yeah, for sure.
That's we can end that discussion.
And it may happen anyway, even if they win
right,
the division.
Right. But that's it. That's over. And we will view this team, if defensively they don't get it together, you don't look at this team as a team that's got all the pieces anymore. You look at it as a team that's got one corner who can really play, who hasn't played that well this year, and Marcus Peters, and is a tremendous pain in the ass. You've got an outside linebacker that's now got his knee barking again, that has got a $100 million contract. That can you keep going with your cap difficulties with that? Dee Ford, who's now hurt and has not taken a step forward. Tom Bahaly, we'll see if he's got anything, but I think everybody expects him to be gone after this year. Derek Johnson has not been as good. Now, I do think it's a short timeline, and I still hold out hope that there's going to be more flexibility in that leg, and we're going to see a higher level of play from him moving forward, but maybe not. I don't Ragland, all the rest of them, they haven't been world beaters. Nope. The rest of the secondary is a mess. Parker's a solid player, we know that, but after that, Sorensen is not a sledgehammer in the run. He hasn't made the impact. You'd get Eric Berry back, but secondary, you got questions. Outside linebacker, you got questions. The defensive line is non-existent. And Chris Jones, hello. I mean, either Bob Sutton doesn't know how to use a tremendous talent, or Chris Jones isn't near as good as we were starting to think he is. All of a sudden, your defense looks like trash, and like you need 2 years of drafting to get it back, right?
You know, if you
lose
this division.
By the way,
you don't have a first-round draft choice next year, which
is right.
Worth it if Mahomes works out.
Right.
But so it would be nice to get a big 300-pound-plus guy to stick in there.
But if they don't win this division, panic.
Yeah,
right, it's official panic.
It's a huge collapse, no doubt about it.
You're not running the ball if that continues. The offensive line, it's finally solved. You got all your pieces. They continue to get hurt, and they have not been good since they brought the starters back. Whether they're playing hurt, I don't know, but the offensive line hasn't been good. Tyreek Hill's been effective. Kareem Hunt shows ability. Travis Kelce's a stud. And then what? The rest of the receivers are still meh. I mean, all of a sudden, this team looks like it's got a ton of holes. If they don't win this division, it's a train wreck, and they look like a team that's got to get even worse before they can start getting better. Right?
It's going to look pretty bad. I mean,
okay.
That's a bad look.
Worst case scenario, none of us expect it to happen. There, we've. I just want to identify, because I always want to be proactive. If it goes to hell in a handbasket, if this isn't just Eric Berry got hurt, they've got fundamental issues. And I think you see the reason why John Dorsey's not here, because we will look at it. And I think people are already starting to say, I've always said his cap management was his weakest part of his game. That we see, and we'll see next year with where they sit against the cap. But the secondary pieces look like crap. They have not been able to fill the secondary pieces, except for getting a guy who choked his coach in college, who has continued to be a massive handful, at the very least, here with the Chiefs. And his play seems to be getting worse each year. Is that fair on Marcus Peters?
I thought he played as well last year as he did. Not as many interceptions,
okay.
But
yeah, they didn't throw
not getting the ball. But yeah, I'd say his game
back.
Is down.
Yeah,
and I don't like his refusal or inability, whatever you call it, to participate in the run defense.
That's
not something we had seen from him earlier in his career.
It seems to go beyond just he's not really the hardest hitter, but that's. It's way beyond
that.
Well,
now he's just doing the Olay thing. He's just getting out of guy's way.
Oh, no, he tries to do that. I mean, the strip was great, and I'll take it. If he can pull off four more strip fumble return touchdowns, then I'll live with it. But if he doesn't get another one, then at some point he's got to tackle somebody and not try to do this grab the ball as they're going by thing that he is kind of settled into. Oh, here's why I'm not hitting people. If you're successful, great. If he can do it two or three more times, great. But otherwise, you got to actually – yeah. Make a hit.
History says that's not going to happen.
Listen, I'm open to the fact that he's got a bum shoulder. We don't know about it. And he's going out there playing hurt, and he can't stick it in there, or he's going to separate the shoulder and be out. I, you know, these guys do play hurt, and I don't know what he's physically feeling right now, so I am open to that possibility. All right, let's talk about what we expect to happen. You and I both are at 5-2 and expect 11-5, if that's what it is. Where does that make – where do they shape up against Pats and Steelers, really the only other two teams? I do think the Titans and Jags could factor in as upset teams. Hell, the Titans beat them last year. Maybe it's not even an upset against the Titans. We'll take a break and talk about that next with Adam Teicher here in the program.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. The Giants, who the Chiefs will play this Sunday at the Meadowlands, lost to the 0-9 49ers yesterday.
You all right?
What franchise has the most losses against teams 0-9 or worse? Winless teams 9 weeks or later into the season. The answer? That would be your Kansas City Chiefs, who have lost 4 times to teams 0-9 or worse.
Wow. Yeah.
That's kind of stunning.
So it wouldn't stun you if they went out and lost. That says that it wouldn't be a complete shock if they lost this game against the Giants.
No.
But it did happen. Not. It did happen one time under Andy Reid.
That's true.
Who was that?
The Raiders Thursday night game back in.
Were they 0-9?
They were 0-10, I believe, at the time, or 0-11, one of the two, Thursday night game.
Yeah, so there's a reason to be a little bit
nervous. I was thinking maybe all that happened back in the really bad old days. Right. But
Nope, there's been a few.
Where did I have – oh, here it is.
Remember one year they lost to the Chargers. The Chargers went 1-15.
Craig Wheelahan. That's right. I think that was the 98. That was the
That wasn't the Craig Wheelahan game. The Chiefs started Warren Moon at quarterback. Chargers blitzed him like crazy, and the Chiefs never adjusted.
So here's one for you. If the Chiefs would look past the one win Giants, 12.5-point favorite, it's the most they've ever been favored, at least since 78, which is as far back Pro Football Reference goes with point spreads on it. Since 78, it's the most they've ever been favored on the road. Double digit favorites on the road since 1997 against the spread are 38-63-3.
What are they straight up?
87-17.
Okay.
So it does say that they ought to win, but there are 17 losses by teams that were laying double digits on the road.
I think the Chiefs are better than what they played recently, and the Giants are 1-8, but I still feel like 12.5 is too much.
That speaks to me. Although I will say this, the one thing I think they've got going for them and is bad teams this late in the season, if you get them down, they'll quit. And Andy Reid does a pretty good job of coming out and jumping on teams. And if he comes out and has the game plan and jumps on the Giants, they'll quit. I mean, that is a screw house. I mean, don't you agree that there's a pretty good chance that what's his name isn't even there? I can't even remember his
Ben
name.
McAdoo.
Ben McAdoo isn't even the guy come Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you know what this game reminds me of a little bit is you remember in Reid's first year, the Chiefs went to Washington late in the year, and RG3 was really struggling, and it was in the snow, and Shanahan was on his last legs, and everybody was unhappy out there. The Chiefs weren't playing well at the time, but they went in there, and they smoked them. I mean, it was, what, 45-14, something like that?
Yeah.
So this game reminds me a little bit of that. Boy, the way the Chiefs have been playing, it's hard to predict that right now.
Let me tell you that the trends and spreads are fun. And, you know, R.J. Bello does a great job when it comes to the gambling side of things, if anybody follows him. He put out a tweet yesterday. I couldn't help myself. And we've talked to R.J. before, and I know him a little bit from my time in Vegas. What did he say? He put out a stat. It was about the Browns, right? So he's giving you the Cleveland Browns as a pick yesterday. And he said, okay, here it is. He says, the trend of the week, 0-5 or worse teams, 10 or more days rest, which was the Cleveland Browns going against the Lions, are 18-3-1 against the spread. Right? That's about as strong a trend as you're going to find. They're 13-9 straight up. They average being an 8-point dog, and they're 13-9 straight up. So he was saying that's the reason to bet the Browns, or at least a trend, if you wanted to. I don't know that he doesn't sell picks, I don't think, but he does news on Vegas and everything. So I said, love it. A reason to bet the Browns. And then call 1-800-BETS-OFF for betting the Browns. First sign of a problem used to be admitting you have a problem. Now it's betting the Browns. Good luck with that. They were actually 24-24, and what happened?
Well, they were up 10-0 at one point also.
Yes, and they had them down. And what happened is bad teams find a way to lose games, and especially teams with no quarterback. That's what makes the Giants dangerous, is that Eli Manning is a two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
And he's not having a dreadful year. He hasn't thrown a lot of touchdown passes. I think his touchdown to interceptions is like 14-6. He's not.
No, he's not been a
throwing it around to picks everywhere.
They've had fumble problems. And they've lost Odell Beckham Jr. They've lost a major weapon.
And
they've lost two or three receivers, actually, yeah, to be honest with you. And Shepard is now their lead receiver. He had a good day, 11 for 140-something. But if he can go for 11 for 140-something, and who are they playing yesterday, the Giants?
Oh, 49ers.
I don't even know who. I'd have to get out a depth chart on the Niners. But if he's got that ability, Eli Manning can put 11 for 147 on this Chiefs quarter.
And the other thing that gives me pause about this game is that the one game the Giants did win, I mean, you remember, they just took the hammer to the Broncos. Mm-hmm. Just ran it right at them. So, you know, can the Chiefs stop these guys? I mean, can they get them off the field?
Well, and I agree. I don't think the matchup looks that good. Orleans Darkwa is nothing special, but you can't stop anybody. Now, Cody said yesterday, and I'll get your thoughts, did you think that their run defense showed improvement against Ezekiel Elliott? Or were you like me? And one of the fans who was sitting behind me in the stands who kept screaming, just keep throwing it, Dak. Keep throwing it. He was a Chiefs fan that just, you know, he was like, hey, listen. And I got his point. He was mostly just trying to annoy Cowboy fans. But his point was a good one. Like, you should just be pounding the crap out of the running game. And Dallas wouldn't do it. I mean, Jason Garrett, now to their credit, Dak Prescott is even better than I thought he was. And they're able to go ahead and throw it and still beat the Chiefs. And the Chiefs' secondary kind of sucks too. But, I mean, if you will just hold your water and pound the run, particularly when that mediocre Cowboy defense, which is better when Sean Lee's on the field, which he wasn't yesterday against the Falcons. But when that mediocre defense is doing a number on the Chiefs' offense, you know, if they just pounded the run, I think that game would have been even worse. And so, or am I wrong? Did they come up with some new wrinkles with their run defense? And holding Zeke Elliott to under 100 is
well.
Is a
I mean,
sign
yeah,
they
held
direction.
Him to what 20 or 93 on 27 carries. Is that right? I mean, mm-hmm. So the numbers look good, but I still thought he was a pretty big factor in that game. I mean, he still allowed them to move the chains and picked up some first downs. I still think he was a factor for them. So
they don't look.
But
great.
I would expect the Giants to really come at the Chiefs that way.
The numbers don't look great. I'll tell you what great is. Great is when it's 21 for 28 yards. That's what the Seahawks did to Adrian Peterson and the Cardinals on Thursday night. That's when they look great. They look all right. I mean, they slowed him down, and Zeke Elliott is a talent, and Tyron Smith didn't play yesterday either, and he played against the Chiefs.
Cowboys had 10 rushing first downs in that game against the Chiefs. That's not a pittance. That's getting it done pretty well.
A couple of those were on
Dak
himself.
Yes.
But
yeah. I mean, I'm open to the fact that they've gotten a little bit better, and the Giants, their line sucks. Their line sucks. I mean, listen, if there is a time for the Chiefs defense to rise up and show themselves, it's this game, right? I mean, Eli Manning is dangerous if they give him time. But they don't give him time, and they don't have a big-time feature back, and they don't have an offensive line that's just going to lean on you and run around. There is no reason for this defense to get run over, right? I mean, they damn well, coming off a week, they damn well better show up and play in a big way, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, if the Chiefs can get a lead, that will also help their cause. You know, maybe the Giants will be more eager to get away from the run in that case. But
I listened to some ESPN radio over the weekend, and somebody was on. I don't even know who it was. He was a former NFL offensive coordinator, or he was a quarterback coach in Tampa. And he was talking about when I don't remember who it was. Was it Freeman? Freeman went down or something with the Bucks. Whenever they turned to Mike Glennon, when Mike Glennon was a rookie, and they said, we had a bye week, and he came in, played terrible. And we sat down, we had a bye week, and we're like, listen, we're going back to his college tape. We're going back to preseason tape. We're going to find out what he likes, what he was successful at, what he's comfortable with. We're going to talk to him. What do you like? What concepts do you like? What do you want to do? And he said, we rebuilt the offense during one bye week, and we came back, and the guy went out and threw like 14 touchdowns and like six interceptions as a third-round draft pick rookie or fourth-round draft pick rookie, and the Bucs actually showed life and got the ball rolling. And he said, you know, this concept that you or this idea that you can't make changes in the season is wrong. He said, we totally rebuilt the offense. We junked what we had built for the other guy. We went, we reverse engineered everything he'd done to be successful, and we rebuilt an offense. Now, you can't tell me that you can't do the same thing on defense. There's no excuse for Bob Sutton to be sitting there on, what is it, Wednesday, Tuesday? When does he talk? Tuesday? Tomorrow? Thursday. To be sitting out there Thursday going, well, I mean, you can't just change the offense midseason. No, you can't change the defense midseason. P.S.
But is Bob Sutton willing to do that, though? That's the bigger issue, man.
I don't know. Doesn't he have a boss?
Like, they talk.
Like, I don't even want to talk about Bob Sutton anymore. Andy Reid has Andy Reid is the man's boss, right? So you walk across, put your foot in his rear end. Here it is. I mean, I truly believe if Andy Reid said, okay, I'm going to be the defensive coordinator this year, he'd do a great job. I think he's a tremendous football coach, and I think he understands both sides. Hell, he's coached. Didn't he coach some DBs at one point? I can't remember. I know he's done O-line. But I am convinced that the man, the reason he's so good as an offensive coordinator is he knows what they're trying to do on defense. And I think he knows what drives him crazy as an offensive guy. And so get over there, get aggressive, get after the quarterback, and let's go. I mean, look, when the Steelers were coming at Alex Smith, one of the things that I think coaches forget, and one of the things that I think this team is so terrified of leaving somebody uncovered, if you get after the quarterback, he doesn't have time to find the guy. That play against the Pittsburgh Steelers where Alex Smith overthrew DeMarcus Robinson because there was a safety blitz coming and didn't even see that where the blitz came from, the receiver was completely uncovered, as was Robinson on the left side. There were two completely uncovered receivers on that play. But I'm not hating on Alex Smith for not making that throw. He had a safety coming right up his face. I think he could have gotten rid of the ball earlier. I think he could have converted that. I think they could have scored a touchdown, but that's hard. That's hard to do. And this defense and this organization doesn't seem to understand the value of pressure.
They had until this year, but I would agree with you this year. It's been a lot more passive, I think, than we've seen from them. Other than at times. It started in that New England game where they were rushing three and dropping eight a lot. And, you know, to me, the key play of the Cowboys game was right before halftime. The Cowboys had the ball, third and 15, I think. Mm-hmm. And the Chiefs rushed three again, and they dropped eight. You have to cover better if you're going to drop eight. And they threw to, Williams, I guess it was,
yeah.
And they got 21 yards. And the next play was the big play to Williams that got him down way down there. You know, and maybe the Tyreek Hill play doesn't happen if the Cowboys don't score there. But to me, that's where the Chiefs lost that game. Was on, you know, they had him 38-18. They had him backed up and couldn't stop him.
Yeah, because
I just thought maybe a little pressure might have helped them.
As much as it was put into, I think rightly so, the back-to-back drives during the middle part of the second half where they just owned the game 25 out of 28 snaps. The Tyreek Hill touchdown kind of glossed over the fact that they let them go 85 yards, whatever it was, in a minute 22. Yeah. And the one play that stands out is the third and 15. But that whole drive basically got washed away by what happened after it. But it was huge.
No doubt about it. I thought that was a place where the Chiefs could have maybe exerted some control over the game. It was, 7-3 at that time, and they blew it.
And then they got the lead and then just turned off the lights. I mean, they just went home.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the touchdown. Travis Kelce makes a nice grab. Alex Smith makes a nice throw. Fun little celebration with the potato sack race. And then the defense went home.
They got to score 30. I mean, maybe just to show that because the Giants have just been, that's where they've been dreadful. 51 to the Rams, giving up 433 yards, 310 through the air in the last six games. If they go up there and piddly fart around and end up with, 21 points or something.
I tell you what, how the Cowboys got to 28 points against the Chiefs was a little bit unexpected. I expected Zeke Elliott to have a better game, but 28 points wasn't more than maybe you thought they were going to get. And if you would have told me, hey, the Cowboys are going to score 28, I would have told you the Chiefs have an excellent chance to win that game. So their offense was was really the culprit to me. I mean, this is kind of an offensive program right now, the way both sides of the ball are playing, and the Chiefs have some things to figure out there.
Andy Reid off a bye against a bad defense. That should be a big number Sunday.
What are you saying about the Giants is bad? The 400 yards a game they're giving up, or the 26.5 points a game they're allowing? I'm confused.
Yeah. Which one is it?
What are the rankings in each category? Against the run, let's see if Kareem Hunt should break out. The Giants shine in the run game. They're actually one spot worse than the Chiefs. Chiefs give up 131. They give up 133. So they are 30th against the run. They make up for it in their pass defense by being 30th against the pass at 268 a game. As I mentioned, 26 a game they're giving up. You know, the Chiefs are giving up 23, but they really, I mean, we're joking around here, but they really look just as bad as the Giants defensively.
Yeah, and the Giants have also only had 9 turnovers on defense, making it
worse.
9
takeaways?
Yeah, 9 takeaways.
Well, and the Chiefs had their big game with 5, and then they had 0 against the Cowboys, right? Yeah, 13 takeaways. 13 takeaways in the NFL ranks at 5 is big. 14th, they're tied with the Saints. With 13, they're 14.
So the Chiefs have how many takeaways?
13.
Well, they had 5 against the Broncos and 3 against the Chargers. So in the other 7 games, they have 5.
Which, I mean, that's kind of how it is.
That's the nature of it a little bit, yeah. But
you know, give you an idea of the teams that are really taking it away. The Rams
are
taking it away.
You're not going to face Trevor Siemian every week.
The Rams are taking it away 19. And let me just bring this up since I'm looking at this, and the Rams are high-flying. And everybody's loving their new coach, McVay.
Sean McVay.
And he's done a great job with Jared Goff. I don't want to take anything away from him. But the MVP of that team is who? Wade Phillips. They're taking the ball away. And trust me, we'll see what it is when Wade Phillips moves on to his next job, because he does seem to move on all the time. But they've got 19 takeaways. Second, there's a big log jam. There's 4 teams at second. Buffalo's taking it away 18. Detroit's taking it away 18. Jacksonville 18 and Baltimore 18. Jets at 17. Eagles 16. Packers and Seahawks 15. Titans, Colts, Bucks, Redskins 14. So, now what the Chiefs don't do is give it away. I mean, that's where they're absolute money. They've given it away 4 times. That's the fewest in the NFL. Who do you think is second? Fewest giveaways.
Fewest turnovers besides the Chiefs. I'd say the Eagles.
Philadelphia's actually given it away 10 times, which is in a logjam tie for 6. 5 teams for 6. New England Patriots have given it away 5. Chiefs giving away 4. Pats 5. Bills 7. Packers and Seahawks 9. That's your top 5.
And that's how... that they're not going to get it a lot of. They shouldn't expect to get the ball a lot this weekend. The Giants have only turned it over 11 times. That's 12th in the league. So we talked
about. Speaks to the fact that the Giants just really suck.
Yeah.
Like if they're not getting killed by. Like usually what happens is bad quarterback, and we've cited this, that the Chiefs' takeaway differential is they beat up on crappy teams with bad quarterbacks that hand the ball away. Then they go into the playoffs, and Tom Brady doesn't give it to them, and they lose. And. The Giants are a team that just shows how inept they are because they're not handing the ball away.
Well, that just tells you they're getting beat on a down-to-down basis.
They suck in the trenches.
In the one game they did win, Houston gave it to them like they were party favors.
Yeah.
Here, have another turnover, sir. Have you tried the interception?
So what a side of fumble with it.
You like a fumble.
So then we're all in agreement. Chiefs 45-10 on Sunday.
I do really. I mean, I see those numbers, and it's like when I saw that from RJ Bell, I'm like, no, there's not a you don't bet loser teams. Like when you get to this point, an object in motion tends to stay in motion, and the Giants are in turn. So, yes, I do expect the Chiefs to kick ass.
Okay, we know that Andy Reid is, what, 16-2 after byes in his career? What do you suppose he is against the spread? That's something I need to look up because I bet you that's a pretty good number, too. Out of 18 games, well, I'm guessing, what, 12 maybe? Maybe even more than that?
I don't know. I'm trying to
recover.
I mean, he hadn't lost until he came to Kansas City, right? So, wouldn't he only
He lost one game with the Eagles, one of his last year. Okay. It might have been his very last
3 year. And 1 off the bye in Kansas City, then?
Yes. Last year would have been what? It would have been the game in Oakland, and they would have covered there. They won by 16 points, so they would have covered last year at least.
Yeah, and so
Yeah, I
bet you they cover a lot of those 18 games.
There you go. Why don't you do something?
Got something to do finally.
Nice of you to come today. We're talking to Adam Teicher, Chiefs insider from ESPN. We'll take a break, come back, talk some more about this Chiefs team. We'll talk about Roy Miller. We haven't mentioned that yet. We need to. How are the Chiefs going to handle this? That's next here on the program. Adam Teicher is with us here on the program, our Chiefs insider from ESPN.com. He's brought to you by Xfinity X1. It'll change the way Chiefs fans experience TV, any screens of TV, with the Xfinity TV app. Stream any channel live on any device around your home. Chiefs fans can track live stats and scores as well right there on their TVs with Xfinity X1. We're live here out at the Chiefs training facility, the University of Kansas Complex. Roy Miller, accused of dragging his wife by the hair, tearing a braid from her head, and nearly ripping off her shirt before being arrested on domestic battery charges early Saturday morning. This according to Jacksonville's Sheriff's Office report. According to the report, the altercation between Miller and Nicole Miller began with an argument after the couple returned home separately from a date. The argument allegedly escalated into a physical confrontation, and Nicole Miller told police her husband grabbed her by the hair, pushed her around, threw her phone into the toilet, and prevented her from retrieving it. The report said the woman was able to recover the phone and called police. She told the police that Miller had barricaded himself in their bedroom. According to the report, Miller had a braid torn from the back of her head. She also had a small abrasion on her face and a scratch on the back of her neck. Several children were at the home at the time of the incident. The report said witnesses inside the home corroborated some of the details provided by Nicole Miller, including Roy Miller restraining her from retrieving her phone. One witness said the couple's bedroom door was slammed shut. She heard thumping come from inside the room as if someone was being hit. They found Roy Miller inside sleeping when the police arrived. 1:30, we're going to hear him say,
at the latest, I would think so. I mean, assuming this all to be true, what are you waiting for?
Well, the witnesses there corroborating the story are, I mean, there's no way around it. They've given, you know, sworn.
Don't know what you're waiting for, if indeed this is true.
What does that do to their defensive line here in their last 45 seconds?
Well, I mean,
seconds?
The depth takes a hit, you know. You know, Alan Bailey, remember, he left the Cowboys game early with an injury, so we don't know where he is right now. So, you know, it could be down two guys against the Giants.
Raheem Nunez-Rochus, Jarvis Jenkins would be guys that would figure into that mix. And yep. You really have no backup nose because he was the backup nose.
Yep.
So it starts to get really interesting what they're going to do along that defensive line. You like the Chiefs against the Giants, though.
Yeah, but this looks a little too easy to me. It just this doesn't add up to me. I mean, this looks a little bit too easy. I'll take the Chiefs, but a little bit uneasy about it.
Okay. We'll take a break. 2-minute drill's next.